Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. If you'll notice, this is the very beginning of your Bible. So this is telling us some pretty important stuff for the foundations of our faith. Verse 27, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. The daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Chapter 12. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And last verse, verse 4. "So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." So we're going to dive into this passage this morning, and we are looking, as you will see, at the real life of Abram. And what we see develop in Abram's life is real faith. And what we see about real faith, and what hopefully we will be able to see in our own lives as we think about our own individual faith in Jesus, is this: that real faith results in caring what God says and trusting God no matter the cost. We see that in Abram's life in these verses right here. We see that, one, Abram cared what God had to say to him, and Abram trusted God no matter what it cost him. And those two things were a result of Abram's faith in God. So, you ready to dive in and see how all this works out? All right. So, chapter 11, what we have is a record of Abram's family. We see he has a wife named Sarai. They don't have any children. Verse 30 tells us, makes a note about Sarai, who later is called Sarah. Makes a note about Sarai that she was barren. She had no child. So there's Abram. He was married to Sarai, but they had no children. But they had their family. They have their land in Haran, as these verses tell us at the end of chapter 11. And life wasn't perfect, but it was good. And then in chapter 12, we see as Abram is making his life in this new land with his family, his father's family and his extended family, and his wife Sarai, God interrupted Abram's life. He tells him, says, "Now the Lord said," verse 1, chapter 12, immediately. He doesn't say much else to Abram, but he gives Abram a command. He says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you." So Abram's living his life, and then God interrupts Abram's life with a command. "I want you to go. I want you to leave everything you know, and I want you to go." Now, Abram had a choice at this point in his life. He could listen to God, or he could not listen to God. In other words, he could care what God had to say about him and his life, or he could not care. If he cared, he would listen. If he did not care, he would not listen. He would have heard God say, "Go to your country, go from your country, leave your home, leave your family, your kindred, your extended family, that is, and leave this land to a land I will show you." And Abram would have just said, I'm good. I'm living my life. I don't really care what you have to say because life isn't perfect, but it's good. In order for Abram to eventually obey God, Abram had to first care what God had to say about Abram and his life. And just period. He had to care what God had to say, period. Abram did care what God had to say. The evidence of that is, one, that he listened, and two, he eventually obeyed. In verse 4, it tells us that Abram went as the Lord had told him. So we know that Abram cared about what God had to say. Now, I want you to connect this with Abram's faith. If Abram did not believe that God was worthy of his ear, he would not have cared. But he believed, in other words, he had faith that God was worthy of his attention, worthy of his listening, and so Abram cared, so Abram listened. Do you see that? Now we're going to come back around to this in a few minutes, but I just want you to hang on to that because it's going to be pretty important for our lives in a few minutes. But Abram had to do more than just simply care what God had to say. Abram could have cared what God had to say, like, well, it is God talking, so he seems to be pretty important. He did create the world, so I think I'll listen to what he says. I care about what God has to say, but Abram didn't just have to care. He had to do something else. He had to trust God. I want you to hone in on verses 1 through 3 in chapter 12, and let's look at what God told Abram to do. Remember, Abram's life is good. It's not perfect, but it's good. God interrupts and he says, go from your country. So he's telling Abram to leave the land that he knows, the land that he has made his home, the land that he has invested his labor and the fruits of his labor into. So that alone is asking a lot from Abram. Would you agree? But that's not all he asks. He says, from your country and from your kindred. So his extended family, if we go ahead and read through the first 10 verses of chapter 12, we won't, but I would encourage you to later, you'll see that some of Abram's family, his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, went with him. But most of his family he left there in Haran. So God called not to break a relationship with them, but to leave his land, leave his kindred, his extended family, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, something that we should note about this is in Judges chapter 24, Abram and his family are talked about. It tells us, gives us a little more, God gives us a little more insight into exactly what Abram left when he obeyed God here in verse 4. Judges 24 verses 2 and 3 say, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river. So here's what we need to see. In addition to Abram leaving the land that he knew and leaving his extended family, Abram is forsaking the gods, little g gods, that he and his family had worshipped up to this point. God is calling Abram away from his land, away from his family, and calling him specifically to obey and worship him as the one true God. Remove your faith from those wooden idols, Abram, and follow and obey me. Take your faith out of all the things that you have trusted your whole life and place your faith in me. Now to us that have grown up in the Bible Belt and we've heard and learned about Jesus since before we can remember, that may seem like a foreign and is a foreign concept to us, but for somebody who's grown up in a place where they've been taught to worship something else other than the one true God, that's a big deal. And that ultimately is the call in their life. To forsake worshiping all else and worship the one true God alone. God goes on to tell him where he's going to take him. He says, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house, this is verse 1, to the land that I will show you. So Abraham may be like, all right, where are we going? And God says, I'll show you when we get there. He doesn't tell him anything about the land yet. He just says, I'm going to take you to a place you don't know where it is, you don't know what it looks like, you don't know what it's like, you don't know who's currently there, but I'm going to take you there. You're just going to have to trust me. And you're going to have to leave all these other things behind and trust me. So, where is he going to go? He's going to go to a land that God will show him sometime in the future. Abraham may say, okay, what else is going to happen? God tells him in verse 2, look at it, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. So, Abraham, at some point in his life, is going to have children. But remember, chapter 11 tells us what about Abram and his wife? They're barren. They don't have any children. In that time and place, there was no hope of having children if you were barren, unless God did something about it. So God's saying, come on, I'll show you the land I'm taking you. I'm gonna make you and your descendants into a great nation. Abraham might have said, well, God, I don't even have a child. And as far as I know, and my wife knows, it's fairly impossible for us to have a child. And you're telling me you want to make me and my family into a great nation. Okay, what else? Verse 3, God tells him what else? He says, in you, the end of verse 3, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I want to take you on a side note really quick. This is one of the first places in the Bible that points to the good news of Jesus Christ. It doesn't use Jesus' name. Abram wouldn't have known Jesus' name, but he would have trusted that God somehow, in the descendants of his family, that God would somehow reverse the curse of sin. We know now that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, and that Jesus was the Son of God. He was born of woman. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in the place of sinners, even though he was perfect. He laid in the grave for 3 days and then rose up out of the grave so that all who place faith in him, for them, death is arrested and the curse of sin is broken. They are blessed through the descendant of Abraham, Jesus. So you may say, well, Abraham's a nice example of faith, but he doesn't really relate to me. Actually, he does relate directly to us because God used him to eventually bring Jesus into the world. It's a big deal. So back to Abram. You with me still? Back to Abram. He says, Abram, I'm going to use you to bless all the families of the earth in the future, to reverse the curse of sin. So Abram, if he calculates all the things that God has told him so far, he's saying, all right, God, so you want me to leave everything I know. You want me to forsake all these things I've worshipped my whole life and worship you only. You want me to take me and my barren wife and you're going to turn us into a great nation and you're going to do it for the sake of everybody else on the face of this planet. Either Abram would trust God and go, or Abram might start singing, I got rice cooking in the microwave. My life's not perfect, but it's good. Why would I leave it to follow you? Which is a pretty good question. Why would, in verse 4, we see God tells us in his word, it says, and Abraham went as the Lord told him. Abraham cared what God had to say and ultimately trusted God no matter the cost. Even though he had his life built, it wasn't perfect, but it was good. And he had no idea what lay ahead of him other than he trusted God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, talks about Abram. It tells us why Abram would do this, even though his life was made before him. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So why would Abraham leave everything when his life was fine the way it was? It was because Abram believed God. He cared enough to listen to what God had to say, and he trusted God enough that it didn't matter the cost. He had faith, and he followed the Lord. Do you see it? This is how real faith impacted Abraham's real life. It resulted in real obedience. I want us to think about Jesus for a moment. The way Jesus interacted with people as he came in contact with them in his life. He came to the disciples in Matthew 4, verse 19. The first of the disciples that he chose. And he said, as they were fishing, which was their living, it wasn't their hobby, that was their job, the way they put food on the table, he came to them and he said, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. We read through other Gospels, when we see in John chapter 8, he interacts with a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. He saves her life because she was about to be stoned. And after everybody else disperses, it's just Jesus and the woman left there in the street. And Jesus doesn't just say, go live your life. He says, go and sin no more. We read through the Gospel of Mark, and we see in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus comes in contact along with the disciples with this man who's possessed by many demons. And Jesus rescues this man. He casts the demons out of him, and for the first time in who knows how long, this man has his sanity back. It says, Jesus stood there, and the man sat down before him and begged him to get in the boat with him to leave. And Jesus said this to the man. He said, you cannot come with me, but you go home to your friends and you tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. See, when these people interacted with Jesus, they had to care enough about who Jesus was to listen to what he said. And then they had to trust him enough to do what he said no matter the cost. You think about those fishermen who Jesus called to follow him. Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. What will we do for our living? How will we feed our families? We're young. This is what we're going to do for the rest of our life. You want us to change everything now? But they trusted Jesus and they followed him. You think about the woman who was caught in adultery. She has no friends left. Jesus says, go and sin no more. And the easiest way for her to have continued to provide for herself was probably some kind of sin. And so her questions probably were endless too. If I go and I obey this man who just saved me, how am I going to survive? What will the people in my life think when I completely change the way I'm living? She had to care and trust. You get to the demoniac, and he wanted to go with Jesus because Jesus was the one who saved him. And Jesus sends him back home to the place where this man's families and friends knew him as the crazy, dangerous man who was possessed by demons. And Jesus says, you go back to them and tell them what I've done for you. That man could have said, but what if they run me out of town? What if they run when they see me? Because in the past, I've hurt some of them. What if? What if? What if? Jesus. But that man cared what Jesus had to say, and he listened to what Jesus had to say, regardless of what it cost him. Because each of those people had real faith. Do you see it? Do you see how Abraham's faith looks exactly the same as the faith that Jesus called people to in the New Testament? It's to step out, trust God. Your relationship with God isn't based on this, what you do and what you don't do and what you do and what you don't do. It's based on you trusting God, on your faith in Him. And as we see in Abraham's life, that what we do and don't do results as from our faith in Him. So this brings us to us. Jesus came, He lived a perfect life for us, though we haven't. He died on a cross that we deserve to die upon, and He conquered death by rising out of the grave, sin and death by rising out of the grave. And He calls us to faith. The Bible tells us over and over again, repent, turn from living life your way, follow Jesus, place faith in Him. Believe in His life, death, and resurrection. Give Him your life, surrender to Him. And we struggle with this in two ways. And I want to ask two questions this morning that's going to, I hope, help diagnose how we as individuals might struggle with faith in our own lives. One is this question. Do I care what God says? Do you care what God says? Think really practical about this. If we care what someone says, we take the time to find out what they say. We care what people say on social media, so we roll over in the morning and we pick up our phone, and that's the first thing we do, is we find out what people are saying on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, because we care. We care what the news anchors on certain stations have to say about what's happening in the world. So we turn them on and we watch them for endless hours because we care what those people have to say. Whether we care about what God has to say is revealed by how much we strive to listen to what He has to say. And the way we listen to what He says is through His Word. So if I ask myself, do I care what God says? The easiest way for me to answer that question is, am I seeking to even know what He says? Am I opening up His Word and reading what He says and listening to what He says? So do you care? Real faith cares what God has to say. Second question is this, do you trust what God says? Sometimes we go to the doctor. I've heard some of you say this, so I know it's true. Go to the doctor and he tells you what to do and you're like, ah, I know better, right? And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. But that decision on whether you do what the doctor says or don't do what the doctor says, you cared enough to go find out what he said. But whether you do what he said comes down to whether you trust him. Some of us care enough to hear and to listen and open up the Word and find out what God says. But when we come across something in God's Word that seems too hard or too inconvenient or something else, we go, well, I know God said that, but I'm going to do this. Or I know God says not to do this, but I'm not ready to give that up yet. And the list goes on and on. Because real faith not only cares what God says, but it leads us to trust Him no matter the cost. So the next question is, the first question is, do you care? The second question is, do you trust? Are you hearing what God says and dismissing it, or are you listening in such a way that you're going, I got to take this and figure out how to work this into my life, how to obey this in my life, because I trust God no matter what it costs me. Some of you may be here today and you may have not come to faith in Jesus and given Him your life because, one, you haven't cared enough to do it, or two, you just haven't come to the point where you felt like you can trust Him. And I just want to tell you, He cares so much for you, and He is more than worthy of your trust. So if I could just plead with you to give Him your life today, that's the next thing you need to do. Some of us are Christians today, and we're struggling in our faith because somewhere along the way, we stopped caring what God had to say. I'm not saying you lost your salvation. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that your growth following Christ is stagnant because somewhere along the way, we stopped caring what He said, and we stopped listening and stopped seeking His Word. Or maybe at the beginning of your walk, you never made it a priority to hear what He said and listen to Him. And so today needs to begin anew, afresh in your life where you go, okay, Lord, I care. My faith is real, and I care what You have to say, so I'm going to make it a point to listen every day. And some of you have cared enough to listen, but you're stuck in your faith because you're refusing to trust Him. That life will be as good without this or that if you trust God on certain points in your life. So today may be a day where you come and you say, all right, Lord, I haven't trusted You. I've listened, but I've refused to obey on certain points, and I haven't trusted You. And today, I want to begin trusting You on these things. And I need Your strength, and I need Your guidance in how to do that. However the Lord's leading you today, Ms. Karen's going to come and begin playing, and Dustin's going to come and lead us in a song. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness today as we ponder these things. Do I care what God says? Do I trust God no matter the cost? Is my faith real like Abraham's was? We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness because this trust thing in our lives isn't about our ability to follow Christ. It's about His faithfulness and whether He is true, and He is. I'm going to pray and then we'll respond. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for saving us and rescuing us out of our sin. Thank You for speaking to us when we haven't listened. Thank You to continue to speak even when we aren't listening. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Lead us. Lead us again as Christians. Lead us again to a point in our lives where we care and yearn to hear Your Word spoken into our life from Your Word. Lead us again to a point where we are willing and ready to lay anything down the moment You say so. Help us to have real faith, Lord, that follows You just as Abraham did. Holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you. pray with you and pray for you and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.